In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
So we're thinking about the Ascension today, the day when Jesus started to work from home. This is the day when Jesus finally gets what he deserves. He returns to his home to experience the glory that belongs to him. It's a cause for the wildest celebration. Our worship today is just a faint echo of the welcome Jesus receives in heaven on his return. On Ascension Day in particular, and around this time, we can let rip with our praise. Let the focus be not on our needs and wants, but on Jesus. It's about him. It's his day. Let's not get stuck on worrying about what actually happened. It's an important story for Luke. He uses it as a pivot. It closes his gospel and it opens the story of Acts. He wants us to be clear that the work of the bodily, tangible Jesus is complete, and the work of the church is just beginning. It closes the resurrection appearances and sets the scene for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and the birth of the Christian church. And in both of Luke's story, the one at the end of Luke and the one at the beginning of Acts that we read, Jesus commissions his disciples to be his witnesses, starting where they are and moving out to the ends of the earth. And that commission is ours too. It's yours and it's mine. Today, don't feel that as a burden. Receive it as an incredible privilege. Let today's spirit of self-forgetting worship become a habit, the centre of our personal lives and of our life in the church. And as the church. From the moment Jesus began his ministry, he was preparing for this occasion, the day when he would leave the future of that ministry, his ministry, in the hands of his disciples, a ragtag bunch of followers. For 3 years he had invested in them, in a group of very ordinary people, so that they might become participants in the most extraordinary mission of God. There was a deliberate disciple-making strategy that he undertook because Jesus knew that the day was coming when he would no longer be with them physically. The Ascension marks the point where those who followed Jesus were now commanded to be out there continuing his mission. Now, this time of lockdown has provided us with a way of testing our discipleship. not a test of our abilities to live stream or host a Zoom meeting or edit videos or churn out daily devotions for a scattered congregation, but a test of our discipleship, how well we are following Jesus and his commission. Are we prepared to be known as belonging to him? Are we willing to take seriously our task of making disciples, go into all the world, said Jesus? How well am I doing that? The reality is that the unwritten contract of church life is often one that does not encourage us to do that, to take responsibility for our own discipleship, or to pay much attention to our task of making disciples. Instead, it often involves congregations agreeing to turn up Sunday by Sunday, putting our offerings in the basket or the bank, and in return expecting the minister to lead in some appropriate singing or to preach an interesting sermon. Go into all the world and make disciples, Jesus said. His last command was not stay huddled together listening to one person on a Sunday. I wonder what exiting this coronavirus lockdown looks like for Faversham Baptist Church. Whatever happens, I don't believe it will be a quick return to everything as normal as it was before March. Some things have changed for good. But here are our priorities, both for now and for the future, whatever that looks like. We are to be witnesses to the hope of Jesus and his resurrection. Our hope is in Jesus and not in our ability to meet in a building. Our passion is to make Jesus known, and right now, right here, we are not hindered in doing that. The ascension of Jesus reminds us again of the need to wait, Acts chapter 1 verse 4, the need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 verse 5, and that Jesus is coming back, Acts chapter 1 verse 11. As if that isn't enough for a few verses, it reminds us that we are to be his witnesses. Not maybe his witnesses, or sometimes to be his witnesses, or if I want to be his witness. We will be, says Jesus. So the issue is not whether we are going to be, but what kind of witness we are. The Baptist Declaration of Principle, number 3, says this is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how am I doing? I came across this quote this week, thought it was rather good. Goes like this. It is worth noting in the book of Acts how infrequently an experience of the divine takes place in a designated religious location. The holy becomes most strikingly palpable on roads and rooftops, in deserts and prison cells, even through dreams and visions. In our haste to reopen our sanctuaries, we may miss the very landscapes of theophany in which the Spirit is manifesting. And if you're not quite sure what all those big words mean, it's quite simply that God is at work right now in our world, in our communities. God is at work by his Spirit. And we mustn't tie too much to our routines, to the way that things have always been, and what we know and find our security in. Our security is in God alone. Maybe this lockdown is the start of a new chapter for Faversham Baptist Church. Much as a new season is heralded by the second part of Luke's Bible contribution, the Acts of the Apostles. Asked on one occasion, what is the greatest thing in life? John F. Kennedy is said to have replied, to take up a challenge. For Jesus' disciple, his commission, perhaps the greatest challenge of all, and it's ours too. In both Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1, Jesus is recorded as declaring that we are to be those who continue his ministry. We are to be witnesses, to go into the world, to tell people everywhere about Jesus and his teaching, to move from the familiar, the relatively comfortable world that we inhabit into an unfamiliar and uncomfortable place. How well do we do as Jesus' disciples today? How do we live up to that challenge? Luke's bookends the end of the Gospel, representing the culmination of Jesus' earthly ministry, and the beginning of Acts, the account of the early church and the Spirit at work in God's people. It presents a challenge. Had he been able to do so, what would Luke have to say about the development of the church in the 21st century? What would he say about us at FBC? How do we prepare ourselves for our ministry together as the body of Jesus Christ in 21st century Faversham? What will be the temptations we experience and the problems we encounter and the challenges we face? One thing is for sure, we will need the Holy Spirit. And all this happened, the ascension of Jesus, just 10 days before Jesus' promise about the coming of his Spirit came true. Jesus did come back in a new way so that he could be with anyone, anywhere, anytime. He's with you and he's with me right now. That means that when we engage in our calling, in the commission of Jesus, his command to go into all the world and tell what he has done, we can be sure that he will be with us. The ongoing ministry that he has entrusted into our hands is now ours. Let's not let him down.